All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R.
Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, October 3rd, 2011. How are ya? How's it going? You hear that echo? Echo! Yo! Woo! I'm in a new place. I moved. No more angry old guy beneath me. I'm in a new place, and it's sparsely furnished. I'm sitting in an old chair, so it's going to be creaking a little bit during the podcast. I actually got out of it because I just realized that sonically that could be a little annoying. Yeah, moved to a new place. Little bigger, little better, right? The American dream still existing, you know? Instead of taking giant leaps, you take little steps, little baby steps. Ooh, look at that. The kitchen's up, it's about 6 inches bigger. No, I'm psyched. First time in my fucking life, I don't have some cunt living below me or above me. So you know what that means. All I got to do is piss off my neighbors, and I think I'll be all right. No, we got a nice place, so we're psyched. My girl's happy, which is a great thing. As a guy, you know that's a great thing. You know, you get something new and shiny, and what? And then they're happy. And then your life is great. That's all you want. You just want them to be happy. Maybe if they're happy, they'll stop fucking bitching at me. Stop going. Maybe that'll stop. You know? But you know how broads are. You know how they are. No matter how cool they are, how fucking hot they are, eventually they find something. Eventually they find something. You know? And you're sitting there and you're listening to them talking and you're nodding. You're nodding your head. Okay. Yeah, I'll work on that. Yeah, definitely I'll work on that. And in your head, you're just sitting there going like, really? Really? It's fucking unreal. I swear to fucking God. I was talking to Paul Verzey about this the other day. We were on the phone joking about this shit. Going, I bet Donald fucking Trump gets nagged. You know? Sitting there looking out the fucking helicopter window that has his goddamn name on it, right? And his fucking wife is probably sitting next to him. If he's even married, whatever, his fucking girlfriend. He likes those Transylvania hotties. That Olga kind of chicks, whatever. He's just staring out the window of his fucking chopper, right? Just fucking sitting there, shaking his head. You know, whole head moving, toupee, sitting still. You know, right on top of his head, on a swivel. Right? And she's just fucking sitting there nagging him. You know, I just thought you could have been a little more social. It's like, I was having, those are my friends, okay? Those are my friends. Those people are important to me. The same way you are, okay? You have to accept all of me. Donald, stop looking at your skyscrapers. I'm talking to you here. This is us, okay? I just, ooh, you're the Don. You have a hit show, okay? This is us, okay? This is your foundation. Well, I don't feel like you're listening to me because I'm staring at the back of your orange hair, okay? Okay, I'm sorry. I know hair is sensitive to you. It's just, I'm emotional right now. And I felt that I was going to invite my friends over. Right? And then they go into that shit. Right? Now, here's a little quiz for you, fellas. Why did that fictitious bitch start crying in that fictitious monologue? Why did she cry? I'll give you a couple seconds to come up with it. Was it because she was really sad? I feel like I'm giving a lecture right now. This is really sending my ego through the fucking roof. Why did she cry? Was it because she felt like he didn't love her? Was it because she was truly upset that he wasn't nice to her friends? Or was it because she took the argument to a place where she knew she was wrong by bringing up his fucked up hair? That's what it was. So then she just, oh my God, I'm going to start losing this. So then they immediately go to the tears. That's what they do. They're terrible, awful, living things with a vagina. No, I'm kidding. Anyways, but I'm not kidding about why she cried. All right, so there it is. So that's what you have to do as a guy. You have to assess, why is she crying? Am I being a dick? If you're being a dick and she starts crying, that's when you go in and you hold them and you tell them you're sorry. All right, and say, please don't cry. But if it's got nothing to do with fucking anything, it's just a manipulative technique to make you feel like you're the Hulk, you know, when you're screaming in their face. All right? So you don't always have to go in for the hug. You don't always have to do it. Just stand back and assess the situation like one of them fucking coordinators on the sidelines. Speaking of sports, what a week in sports. What a week in sports. Oh, the highs and the lows. Jesus Christ. First things first. I know I'm a little late on this story. This story's over, but what a fucking... How about them Red Sox, dude? Huh? Oh, Jesus. Jesus Christ. What a fucking epic collapse. But you know what? It's all part of the balance. That's what happens. You know, I was actually in Boston during it, you know, and, you know, it's the usual shit. Everybody fucking upset, everybody whining, everybody crying and that type of shit. There's a lot of good that's going to come out of this. You know, first things first, one of the great things is when something like this happens, when your team collapses to the historical epic level that the Red Sox collapsed, one of the great things is you reconnect with people that you have not heard from in many years. Like for me, I have a lot of friends who are Yankee fans. And a lot of them, for some reason, I haven't heard from them since, gee, I don't know, game 3 of 2004. I think that's the last time I heard from a lot of them. You know, and out of nowhere, they start fucking calling me up. You know, fucking Boston. And you know what was great about them whining and crying was I really saw how much it was annoying them over the last few years that Boston was having this level of fucking success. And they were sending me all these really bad, hey, why don't you fucking be careful when you eat your baked beans in Boston because you might choke. Like the Red Sox did. You know, those awful texts your friends send you that they think they're being funny. It's like, why would you try to make a comedian laugh? And first of all, if you're going to go that route, why would you bring up Boston baked beans? Why wouldn't you bring up the racism in Boston and somehow, and combine it with Ted Williams' upside down frozen head? That's the direction I would have gone in. And then all you hacks on fucking Twitter who are now going to do it, you know. Yeah, go ahead and do it. I don't give a fuck, all right? It's not your idea. You're too fucking stupid to come up with it. I mean, how just sitting there, his fucking head on top of a tuna can with his nose broke off. It was right there. It was right there. You know, you really could have been meaner. But anyways, but the great thing about Yankee fans bringing it up is no matter how bad the fucking Red Sox choke, it can never be worse than the biggest fucking choke of all time, the 2004 New York Yankees. That was the greatest fucking, aside from just beating them in 04, that was the greatest thing. Because you can't top that fucking choke. You would have to have a fucking $220 million team with 6 first ballot Hall of Famers. And then somehow you'd have to fucking, I don't know what you'd have to do. You'd have to find a fucking team that hasn't won it in 86 years. I guess the Cubs, you could do it to the Cubs. I don't know what. That's why, to me, the Yankees, that will always be the biggest choke I've ever fucking seen. That was like Hollywood movie choking. As far as what the Red Sox did, that was the biggest collapse in September. Who gives a fuck? You know, the Mets do it every goddamn year. The Cubs did it in 69. I'll tell you right now, that collapse, unlike the ones before we started winning titles, it didn't bug me for longer than... you know something? I'm so full of shit right now. You guys, when was the last time I talked baseball on this podcast? I don't even watch it. I maybe watched 4 innings. This is how fucked up I am. I actually started watching the Red Sox for the first time since Ortiz tested positive for whatever he tested positive for. But, you know, I'm sure it wasn't for vitamins. I just said, fuck baseball. I was just like, all right, look, either make roids legal or get them out of the game, but stop getting me excited about shit and then 3 years later telling me it really didn't count. I just said, forget it. Who gives a fuck? Do I really want to watch the Yankees and Red Sox battle each other every fucking year until the end of time? It's boring. It's over. We beat them. Even with this shit. All they can be, you fucking collapsed. They can't chant a year at me. They can't chant 2007. There's no stupid curse or whatever. There's nothing. It's over. You fucking choked. What the fuck are you going to do, right? But, you know, there's a silver lining to this choke, and that I think it needed to happen because there's going to be a cleansing. You know, as the Red Sox ship started sinking, all these pink Red Sox wearing fucking that stupid song they sing in the seventh inning, that no fucking Red Sox fan that I grew up with would ever... It's fucking embarrassing. Bum, bum, bum. And you're fucking sitting there with your girl's head on your shoulder as you're sitting there dressed head to toe in Red Sox shit. The only thing you're missing is fucking cleats. What the fuck is... Don't even get me started with that shit. Those people who dress up for games. You know, like those stupid fucking Raider fans. What are they doing? Do they understand how it went from one of the scariest places you could ever play to now looking... It looks like a musical. Looks like a Broadway musical. Like, I look at that and I don't think intimidating. I think Phantom of the Opera. I really wish I knew some of that music. I'm sure a lot of the people in the black hole, and they stand up for the whole game. Do they? Hey, look, it's Darth Vader. Gee, I don't know if I can catch this football now. Raider Nation, you guys have the best fucking uniforms in all of football. You have the best logo. You have the baddest fucking tradition. And I don't know what you guys did to it. You need to get those sci-fi Road Warrior wannabes out of your stadium, and you got to go back to looking like the fucking Hell's Angels like you used to be. You know, look, I'm not gonna lie to you. I was actually gonna go to the Patriots game up there with a buddy of mine, and he's like, dude, we're not wearing any Patriots shit. I go, fuck no. This is the West Coast. This shit isn't fun out here. People get stabbed, they get shot, you lose an eye. They're out of their fucking minds. All right, but I can tell you right now, Boba Fett is not doing that shit. Okay, or the guy with his fucking shoulder pads and his fake spikes coming out of it. Ah, with your bandanas and your face makeup. You know what I love about those guys is I just want to see them, you know, when they're their alter ego, you know, like when they're in Burt Ward mode and they're just waddling down the street going to work. You know, oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, I think you guys need to go back to looking like fucking Ken Stabler and Jack Tatum. You know, you really should go back to that. And you know something? I'm not being fair to Oakland Raider fans right now because I've been to a game up there and most of them look that way. And I actually talked to a couple of them and they fucking can't stand those guys who dress up like they're in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And typical TV, who do they put on? Do they put on the real Raider fan who's just sitting there maybe with a Raider t-shirt or just dressing with the black t-shirt and looks like he'd slice your throat, you know, like a normal upstanding Raider fan looks like? No, who do they put on? They put on the guy dressed like the chef on the Muppet Show. With a fake scar painted on his... Dude, at one point, they had some guy, I was watching the game, and this douchebag is just sitting there with his face painted, and he's like, Raiders, Raider Nation, we're going to fuck... It's like, what happened to you? You know what happened? His balls dried up. There's a point, like, they don't really talk about this in health class in high school. You get to a point where you're such a douchebag, and it's been so long since you actually laid down with a woman that your balls turn into sawdust. And the estrogen levels go up, and the next thing you know, you go out and you buy a little vanity, and you're like, I just don't want to go to a football game. I want to go there in character. 5, 6, 7, 8, chenille. Oh, God help me the next time I go up to the Bay Area. So we were going to go to the game, and they right off the bat, I'm like, dude, I'm not wearing any Pats shit. And the dude's like, yeah, absolutely not. Why would you do that to yourself? You know, why would you do it? Especially out on the West Coast where you get shot, stabbed, or you lose your fucking eye. So he came up with this great plan. I ended up not going up there, but I want to pass this on to my listeners here. This is a great thing that you can do, especially when you know your team's going to win. You go there dressed in the other team's colors, and then you act upset when your team is kicking the shit out of them. That's what I was going to do. I wasn't going to wear a Raiders thing. I was going to go there in a black thermal. And as Tom Brady was marching up and down the field, and everybody around me was going, oh, what the fuck? I'd be like, yeah, come on. Watch, they're probably going to score again. Oh, great. Just what we needed. You know what's funny? Nobody would have noticed. No one would ever stop and go, wait a minute. This guy looks like a fucking leprechaun. We don't have any redheads in fucking Oakland. This guy's a double agent. They never would have been able to figure it out. You know why? Because they would have had too much makeup in their eyes. All right. So anyways, what's next? I know this is heavy on the sports. Don't worry. But I started off with the broads. The fuck is next? The Jets. J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets. I'm not giving them shit all year. Some people are saying, oh, shit on the Jets because they lost or whatever. I'm not doing it because Rex Ryan's not talking shit. So I don't give a fuck. Good for them. And plus, you know something? I don't think the Patriots... I don't think we match up well with those guys. It's not going to surprise me at all if we lose because our defense looks like fucking water. Our defense is, we're okay against the run. We're okay against the run, but, you know, if you just want to throw like a fucking 30-yard floater, you just want to go out there and sit down in our zone, you know, it's a lot of pockets. But I got to say this. Was I right or was I right about Mark Sanchez? I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sure he makes a hell of a Salisbury steak. You know, I'm sitting there watching ESPN. Okay? And I've been saying it for years. The way to beat the Jets is you have to go up by 2 scores. Touchdown and a field goal. That's all you need. And then all of a sudden, Mark has to be a quarterback. And he has to make something happen. He can't just manage the game and be like, don't throw a pick. Don't throw a pick, Mark, and just fucking throw it out of bounds. He has to try and do something. All right? Well, this year, you know, they lost a couple of players on D. They got a couple of injuries. Now old Mark has to be Captain Comeback. And, you know, I was watching today on ESPN. They said, you know, when your running game's not working and you can only hit intermediate passes and you can't throw the ball deep, that's going to be easy to defend against. And I'm sitting there on the couch going, say it. Say it. Just fucking say it. He's not as good as you tried to tell me that he was. Okay? And New Yorkers, if you ever wondered why everybody fucking hates you guys, all right? Yes, we are jealous of your fucking awesome city. It is awesome. All right? But not because you're there before you puff out your man tits. All right? This is why I can't stand New York, because if you play sports in New York City, if you just scratch your ass, they call you a fucking star. It's ridiculous. If Mark Sanchez played for the fucking Seahawks, if he played for the Chiefs, if he was down there in Texas playing for them fucking Texans down in Houston, why? You wouldn't hear a fucking word about that guy. All right? But all of a sudden he plays in New York and he's got dreamy eyes, man. They start ramming him down my throat like he's this fucking superstar. Very fast guy, very elusive, difficult to sack. I'll give him that shit. All right? When's the last time you saw him throw a frozen rope? Huh? Put that fucking ball. He does the back shoulder thing. Oh, he's all right. You know? Well, everybody down there saying he's a fucking star. Give me a goddamn break. All right? Give me a fucking break. That guy is upper mediocre. All right? If I had to do the top tiers here in quarterbacks, all right? Brady, Manning, and you can have the debate, and you can't even listen to me because I'm a Patriots fan. I always put Brady on top because I like the rings. I like the shiny stuff. I'm like a gold-digging whore when it comes to being a fucking sports fan here, right? So those two guys are at the top, right behind them, and soon to overtake them, just because eventually you get too fucking old, is Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. And then that next group, I don't know. I would put, who would I put in there? I'd put Matty Ice, even though his knee's fucked up, he's having a rough year. I'm so bad with the goddamn names this year. You know what's funny is I actually rolled out of bed yesterday and made my picks, and I went 3-0. Tonight, I'm looking to go 4-0 to take a two-game lead against Paul Verzi. Paul Verzi from New Jersey. New Jersey zone, Paul Verzi. That's his dream in life, to someday live in New Jersey. right on that drive to Newark Airport. He wants to live near those big, giant fucking oil basins, whatever the hell you call them. And Mark Sanchez, I would put him in the next group. So if there's the top three-tiered people. I didn't really put anybody else in there. I don't know where to put Michael Vick. Michael Vick is a fucking, like, I don't know. He's like in his own lane. But he suffers from Chad Pennington-itis, where he, like Chad, was born a winner. He can make things happen, but he has bird bones. And you just fucking bump into that guy and something breaks. I don't know what it is. I don't know. The guy just can't fucking stay healthy. So, I know. I know who else I put in. I put Philip Rivers. I put him in there. I put him above Matt Ryan, obviously, just from the experience. Guys like that I put in there. But, I mean, I would rather have Philip Rivers than I would Mark Sanchez. And they're sitting there throwing this guy down my goddamn throat while his defense is winning games. He's like fucking Jim McMahon. Jim McMahon walking around with spiked hair and sunglasses on while his fucking defense shuts everybody down. Oh, gee, did you win the game, Jimmy? All right. Okay. I think we've discussed this enough, haven't we? Is this enough sports for you? I'm going to get a lot of emails about that. Oh, my God, dude. Enough with the sports. Fucking blue. Go fuck yourselves. Anyways, I don't know what's going on with my podcast. Last week, the file was too big. I was at my parents' house, and I wasn't able, I don't know, two things happened. It was the perfect storm. I was at my parents' house with their fucked up internet. God bless them. Love them to death. Greatest parents ever. But their internet leaves something to be desired. And then my computer was totally full. And I couldn't erase anything, so I couldn't really turn it into an MP3. So when I uploaded it, it was way too fucking big. And then all these computer sleuths on my Twitter were giving me shit going, Joe Rogan does 4-hour podcast. Kevin Smith does 3. And it's like it had nothing to do with how long it was going to play. It had to do with the fact that I didn't turn it into an MP3. I put up the director's cut. I don't know how many megabytes, gigabytes. I don't know anything about that shit. But evidently it was so big that iTunes, for some reason, then has to douche my entire podcast off of iTunes. I swear to God, iTunes, it's like dating a hot chick. They're just so fucking temperamental over there. And for what? I have no idea. It's Why they are the way they are, I have no idea. There's all kinds of technology out there where you can go around fucking iTunes. So I don't know where they get off walking around with their fucking computer noses in the air. But I got to tell you, this is one podcaster. I'm getting a little sick of it. I'm sitting downstairs in an empty room with headphones on like I'm doing pirate radio right now. I just realized that. In a squeaky, squeaky old chair. All right? But to me, that's an upgrade. It's a fucking upgrade. What else can I talk about here? Oh, by the way, I want to thank the 43,000 people who sent me that story about how the world's largest sperm bank has been turning away the jizz of redheads. Okay? World's biggest sperm bank tells redheads, we don't need your semen. You know how fucking degrading that is? You're showing up to jerk off into a Dixie cup and they turn you away like, nah, that's all right. That's like telling a stripper to put her clothes back on. It's fucking horrific. You know, but for some reason, like, people think that that affects my life. It doesn't. All right? They turn away a lot of fucking people. Okay? If you got different shit in your family, they turn you away. And not to mention, I got to tell you, as a guy, that story has no effect on you, okay, as far as your jizz. I guess, yeah, I can't sell my jizz to a sperm bank. I mean, what sort of financial fucking crisis am I going to be in where I'm going down to a Dwayne Reed stealing lube and then limping into a sperm bank to fucking shoot something into a goddamn graduated cylinder? You know, really, I can't fucking do that? You think I give a fuck? Let me tell you something. This is what I've learned. This is what I learned in life, okay? If you're making money, the ladies want your fucking jizz. I don't give a fuck what you look like. You could be a one-eyed, bald midget troll. They want it in them. All right? Trust me. So any redhead who took that in a bad fucking way, just go out and make something of yourself. I'm telling you. You'll get a fucking 10, and you'll dump a fucking nice unwanted spooge right in her. That was disgusting, yet pro-redhead. How do you like that, everybody? Pro-fucking-redhead. I just love how many people sent me that story. Like, I swear to God, I said 40,000, but it had to at least be 100. And that's one of the things that I love about the internet, and I hate it at the same time. Because the internet, I swear to God, allows adults to act the same way you acted when you were in like kindergarten or first grade on the playground, where you were just completely uninhibited and you were mean. Remember that shit? You just walk up to somebody and be like, I don't like your face, right? You could just be that. And then when you get older, you still think that. You're sitting there in the boardroom going, look at this guy with his fucking face, his stupid fucking tie, right? You think childish shit, but because you're older and mature, you don't say it. You know, because, you know, you got debt and you don't want to get fired. Well, he's doing a great job. And they told the boss he didn't like his face. That'd be hilarious. Why did you get fired from your last job? You know, and you have to tell him some childish shit like that. Well, the great thing is about the internet is it allows you to tap back into that part of you. You know. And then debunk the fucking myth that when you become an adult, you still don't think those thoughts that you did when you were in first grade because you're now you're older and mature. You still think them. You just programmed not to fucking say them. So, I don't know. At first, I was like, what the fuck? And then by the time the 11th person sent it to me, and then actually this story broke like 2 weeks ago. And like 2 weeks in, as people are still sending me this story, that's what made me find the internet fucking hilarious. The fact that somebody's going to listen to this podcast and then send it to me on Twitter after it, that's like that. That's literally that. I don't like your face, na-na-na-na-na shit. That's just, it's fucking childish and 99.9. It's just fucking hilarious. Can anybody explain? I think that's why, or maybe it's because guys are childish. Why I think guys are so funny is because we have the fucking maturity level. I don't give a fuck what we're doing in our lives, how much responsibility we have, how much money we're making, how good a husband or a father or anything like that we are, we're still immature as hell. Unless you're just a fucking boring douche anyways. Like, I had a bunch of guys over yesterday watching the games. Oh, by the way, underrated for the week. Fucking DirecTV and getting the NFL Network. People, I don't give a shit what your landlord says. Put a fucking dish on the side. Figure out a way to do it. Steal somebody else's DirecTV. It is fucking phenomenal. It's like your own sports bar. It's the greatest fucking thing ever. Except you can just sit there and chill. You don't have to fucking sit there and listen to all those idiots who ruin the game. You know those idiots, those jersey wearing, ball watching jackasses. You know, who like something happens and then they yell at your table all day, all day. They do that shit. Some tub of shit who couldn't even catch a basket of potato skins if you underhanded it to him like he was a fucking 3-year-old. All of that shit. Ugh. I remember one of the last times I went to a sports bar, it was when the Saints were on their run. And all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I saw Saints fans, you know, and they all got their brand new fucking jerseys on. Typical sports bar fans, brand new fucking jerseys on. Going, who that? Who that? Who that think they're going to beat them Saints? It's just like, where, under what fucking rock did you crawl? Where the fuck have you been, right? Ball watching jackasses. You get the NFL package, you don't have to deal with it anymore. You don't have to fucking deal with it anymore. I got that, and I got the NHL package. And that's what I'm doing. I'm going to get the MLB package when that comes around. I am going to have a $400 a month cable bill, and I'm going to sit there with a fucking Nirvana-like look on my face as I pay that cable bill every year. Every month. I am done with sports bars. I don't know why the fuck you would ever go. Why the fuck you would ever go? What do you want to see? You want to see the sports bar whores? Those are some of my favorite ones. Isn't that great? How women can make anything look sexy. You know those girls, they come there and they tie their fucking jerseys off and they put some grease under their eyes and you just in their little fucking ponytail and they act like they're there to watch the game when they're really there, you know, just to test their pussy power, just to kind of walk around, get everybody all fucking worked up. I went to a place out here a few weeks ago down on Melrose called Parlor Live, and I don't know. I don't know if I'm getting old or what, but it was a fucking mob scene. You know something? If I was in my 20s, I would go down there because there was a ton of hot chicks down there, you know? And isn't that what you want as a guy? Some hot chick with a fucking ponytail who actually watches sports, you know? So I guess, you know what? I just realized I was too fucking old to go down there because I literally went down there and I was like, why are the TVs so loud? Turn it down. I can't hear myself think. Whatever. All I'm saying is, I'm telling you, if you're younger, you're in your 20s, just don't go drinking for a couple weekends. Pool that money together with your roommates and go out and get a dish. You fucking douchebags. I'm telling you. All right? And then what you do is you have people come. You have those fucking sports whores come over to your place. There's your TV 3 feet over. Oh, there's your bedroom. It's right fucking there. Then they're already used to coming over to your place. So if you hang out with them another night and you invite them up, the place is already familiar. Oh, shit, I think I'm onto something. All right, this is what you do if you're in your 20s. Pull your money together with the other fucking slob of a roommate or slobs. All right, and this is the big thing. You invite your friends over and they bring their broads over too. All right, this is to get laid, by the way, because I know a lot of sports fans are going to be like, well, you don't want any girls there because they're just going to talk during the game and shut up during the commercials. I understand that. But if you want to bang a couple of them, this is what I do. You get that shit. And the big thing is make sure your fucking apartment is clean. Make it immaculate. All right? There's nothing that dries up a pussy like a dirty apartment. I'm telling you. If they walk in and they feel that they're going to fuck inside of a laundry bag, they're out. They are out the door. And if you try to make a move, you have a 30% chance that they're going to scream rape. All right? All that shit that everybody says is for fucking queers. get scented can, get something, some sort of fucking decent smell going on in there. Take the shit from your male friends when they come in, like, dude, it smells like a fucking candle store. Would you pull that thing out of your ass? Take that shit. All right? All you have to show is in your 20s, all you got to do is show remotely some level of fucking maturity. And I'm telling you, you're in the goddamn game. I don't know. There's something about him. He dresses nice. His apartment is clean. I think he's worthy of entering my vagina, right? What the fuck do I know, huh? What do I know? The world doesn't want my sperm. Why would you listen to me? Oh, this just in. The world says, fuck you, Bill. Fuck you and your red nuts. We don't want them. Oh, my God. How much of an egomaniac am I that doesn't even bug me, that I actually find it funny? The world just said no to me, and I still feel good about myself. What kind of a man has an ego to that level? I'll tell you, the kind of man who has the balls to do a podcast by himself, who actually thinks he's fucking interesting for an hour. Oh, geez, yeah. All right, let's plow ahead here. I got an email here from a fat fuck. Would you guys like to hear it? Would you like to hear it? If you're new to my podcast, if you're actually able to find this thing, if iTunes actually allowed me back into their fucking internet universe. Oh, I'm sorry. This isn't a fat fuck. This is from a former fat fuck. Huh? Let's just stop here. How about a round of applause for alliteration? That's why fat fuck. You know what I mean? That's just like a fucking two-punch combo to your chest. You get out of the way, you fat fuck. You know, fat fuck. Right there. Fucking 12-ounce gloves right to your man tits. You fat fuck. Bill, I am a former fat fuck. As such, I can totally understand your frustration with that planet that you had to sit next to on your flight. If that guy's going to fly, then he has to buy two seats. He will willingly buy twice the portion of food when he's out, so accordingly, he should buy twice the amount of ass space. Ah, God bless this guy. God bless this guy. Let's hope I can actually read this a little bit better. I'll try not to move around in this old chair here. there's a reason that big people die younger and get more diseases. It's because your fucking body isn't built to hold that amount of weight. It's fucking horrific for your health. I have no sympathy for people that are blatantly shoveling sugar and fat into their gullets with no regard for their health or attempt to get in shape. Which brings me to this. Overrated. Being obese and not giving a fuck, saying it's genetics and you have a slow metabolism. Go for a fucking walk every night and eat a salad. That's what I've been saying. Underrated. Overweight people getting into shape and making serious efforts to improve their health. What does he say? I am 21 years old, about 6 feet tall, and used to weigh just under 300 pounds, about 2 years ago, when my weight peaked. I decided to get my shit under control and lose some fucking weight. Now I'm down to 205. Good for you. And my girlfriend is a hot 25-year-old. Hell yeah, go with me. Oh, is this an advice thing that I just... Sorry, guys. I think I just went into advice here. Or did I cut part of that off? I don't know. I had another guy... Another fat guy emailed me and just said he's given into being fat, but he still buys two seats, and he's actually considerate with the people around him. So you know what? I think I was a little too mean on the fatties. I did what everybody does. I judge fatties the way the world judged my sperm. You know, see, people, this is why my podcast is so mean. This is why I don't give a shit about other people's feelings. This is why I say, cry me a fucking river. I don't give a... The world just said no to my jizz. The fucking world. There's people out there. Okay? They're shitting on the side of the road after they fucking, you know, skip out of a bamboo hut. Okay? I come up with my jizz. I'm all set. I'm going to wait for something better. There's people in fucking Colombia, Venezuela. Who are those people that, helped out? Escobar. They were living at the dump. They were living in a junkyard. He went out and built them a small city. Those people also said no to my jizz. This just in, the world says no. So I just don't, I don't have any fucking, I just don't have any sympathy. Yet I do. I understand people don't want to be fat fucks. You know, the same way you understand that you'd like the world to welcome your jizz as opposed to saying no to it. All right, let's move on to advice. So if you take any of this shit personally, like that douchebag who went to that one guy's comedy show and he had to apologize to the world, don't be that way. All right, listen to a serious podcast then, because I don't want to hear. But I really don't want to hear from you. All right, advice, Mr. Burr. I call you Bill, but I don't fucking know you. Oh, I like this. A little bit of respect. I'm at a decision point in my life and need your advice. I'm an active duty military officer. I was married, but the horrible cunt had an affair, and now I'm on my own living the fucking dream. No kids. Yeah. Living your own with no kids, young man. Still in that military shape. Hoorah! Right? You still running the obstacle course? That's a good fucking thing. You got that high and tight fucking haircut. You should be all right. Dude, that could have been way worse. You could have married that cunt, and then she cheats on you, and you had kids. And for 18 years, you got to subsidize her life. You know, like she's a 35-year-old second grader. So you got off good, man. You're living the dream. Anyways, he says, I'm 28 years old now, and have shit for game. Making finding chicks or even wet holes difficult. Oh, I remember this one. This guy's very graphic. Your podcasts are making it better. The problem is this. I can either stay in the military or try and get out. Staying in means I deploy fighting useless wars and move every 2 to 4 years. I'm at the point in my life where I want to start working on a family, and there are few women who are willing to sign up to be a military wife. Also, raising a kid under those conditions means she'll be a hooker or he'll hit women. All right. I have a little job satisfaction, but high security. And I have a little job satisfaction, but I have high security and good pay. The economy blows, but I've got a bit saved up to make the leap. I have no fucking clue what I would do on the outside and don't have any passions. Please offer some advice, or if not, just rant about the useless wars we fight. All right. Well, look, dude, if I rant about wars, at the end of the day, I'm not in the Pentagon. All I have is my conspiracy theory, which is basically I just, you know, and it's not original. I just feel like sociopaths run the world, and that they start rumors about other things, and they get us to hate people, and then all the regular people, the regular guys who you see in a sports bar, they end up fighting each other. That's what it seems like to me. But I can't say this. It's not always wrong. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just sit back and let Hitler do his thing? Were we supposed to allow communism to spread forcefully down people's throats? Were we supposed to fucking do that? I don't think we were. Are we supposed to sit back and let people knock down our buildings? I don't think we should. But can you solve that by going over there and then bombing other people who didn't necessarily do it? I don't fucking know. I'm just a jackass comedian. All right. So with that, let's talk about smaller shit here. All right. I get what you're saying. All right. You've done your time. You want to get out, but it's a shit economy. You got some money saved up. All right. Those are all good things. Not having passions, that's not a good thing. You don't have any dreams. You don't sit around like, what's the thing that you dream about most? You know, that you actually have a talent for. You know, and I don't mean like the usual shit that I dream about. Like fucking, you know, walking into a bar and beating up the toughest guy, you know. You know, saving some damsel in distress. And when she says, no, wait, I didn't even get a chance to thank you. I walk off like the Lone Ranger. And then Oprah wants to interview me and I turn her down and I say, well, that's not the reason why I did it. Okay, Oprah? And then everybody just goes, wow, what a swell guy. But we still don't want your sperm. I'm not talking about that kind of shit. All right? I'm talking about like anything from, have you ever done landscaping and just been like, I like being outside? Anything like that. I like working with my hands. I'm good with numbers. Anything. Like, I don't know what it is. I listen to music and I can tell which way it's going. Maybe I'm good at music. Like, you got to figure out where your talent lies, you know, and then you go in that direction. That's my theory. Because if you don't, I think you end up just as some drone sitting in a cubicle, not fucking happy. Like, I make fun of cubicles and that type of shit. But, like, you know, if you just want that, some people just like, listen, I just want to get married. I want to have kids and I want a stable fucking job. I'll go in the cubicle and I'll sit here around the fucking water bubbler and have a great fucking time. There's no problem with that. But if it's sucking the life out of you, my theory about that is that you have a talent that you are suppressing. So, I mean, none of this shit's really funny, but I wouldn't walk away, you know, in this economy necessarily from that. I would, you gotta figure out what the fuck you're good at. You know, this is very, you know what it is? This is very generic advice because you gave me very general. You gave me, it's really big. But as far as the broads, all you got to do is you got to get over the fear of bombing. That's how you become a good comedian, is when you go on stage and you get out of the mindset of, okay, if I do this, what if they don't laugh? What if they don't laugh, then they don't laugh. And then you just learn how to fucking deal with it. It's the same thing with hitting on women. What if she says no? Then you move on to the next one, the next show. Who gives a fuck? And you just learn and just have a fucking sense of humor about it. There's something fucking hilarious that as a man, you have to convince somebody to have sex with you. As opposed to a broad who can just lay down on a table. Hey, who wants it? Right? They don't need any game. They don't have any game. They don't have to have any game. You know, but as a guy, you got to convince people. So just, you know, what are they going to do? You know, what are they going to do? I mean, don't be rude, but then they're not just going to wind up and beat the shit out of you because they don't want to go out with you. All they can do is be like, yeah, no. I mean, yeah, you get rejected. Think you get, who gives up? I just got rejected by the fucking world and I got to sit here and cheer you up. You should be fucking cheering me up. You got the balls to fight a fucking war? You don't have the balls to approach some fucking ditzy chick leaning up against the bar? What the fuck did she ever do? She even pay for her drink? She should be approaching you. You're a goddamn war hero, sir. You know what? I'm done with you. You ought to be ashamed of yourself for fucking accomplishing all this other shit and then being, you know what? You're like a fucking elephant standing on a goddamn kitchen table looking down at a mouse. Step on that bitch. There we go. All right, I'm done with that. Squeaky chair and all, I'm done with it. All right, next one. Bill, I'm currently living with my brother, and I'm 22 and he's 20. Over the past year, I've noticed that when I come home from school, my laptop isn't where I left it. Oh, my God, if this guy's jerking off on your computer. I haven't read this one yet. Is he watching internet porn? That's where I'm guessing this is going. It's not in the place because my brother is using it to access online porn and then masturbate. I swear to God, I haven't read this yet, but where else was it going to go? What do you think he's doing? Going in there and reading about turtles? My brother is using it to access online porn and then masturbate to said material. I have caught him masturbating on my bed twice. First in the act and later walking out of my room hurriedly with a red face and his belt undone. Oh my God. This isn't a moral issue. I have no problem with pornography and will be looking at it myself later this evening. However, I have told him explicitly and on multiple occasions to not use my bed and laptop to do this to himself. His response is always an embarrassed laugh and a promise that he'll stop, which he never seems to keep. Do you have any advice on how to keep him and his filthy hands away from my room and my computer? I know I'm not being selfish and asking too much of him. Jesus Christ, what do you guys have any boundaries? The fact that you're even questioning, or not even, I know I'm not being selfish and asking too much. You don't have to bring that up. That goes without saying. This is what I would do. I don't know where you work, but I would take my laptop to work. Tuck it under your shoulder. Bring it to work. Put it someplace safe. And I would get a lock on my door. Put a lock on the door, you know, and you tell him if he even tries to fuck with that lock, anybody who comes over, you're going to say, you know why I got a lock on that door? Because Harry Hands over here keeps going in there rubbing one out of my fucking pillowcase. Isn't that right, brother? Fucking weirdo walking in there jerking off around my stuff. That's what I would do. You have to shame him. You have to. I just start calling. Just be like, listen, dude. I would start calling him some disrespectful fucking nickname between the two of you, and go, dude, if I catch you in there again, I'm outing you, and I'm gonna fucking tell everybody, and you're gonna have to jerk off until you're 40 or move to Greenland because you're not getting any pussy in this fucking area code. I would do that, dude. Uncle fucking Ted. What does Ted Nugent say? You got to secure your perimeter. This whole fucking thing is your fault. The first time. That's him, all right? He's a blood relative. You would think that he wouldn't do something like that to you, but he did. He showed who the fuck he was, and right then, you got to secure your perimeter. You got to do it. Put a lock on the door, you know? Go down to an old prison and see if you can buy some used barbed wire. You know, just put that around the door. Do whatever the fuck you got to do. Do whatever you got to do. Or another way to go is you leave it wide open again. And you put a hidden camera in there, and then you videotape him jerking off in your room and say, dude, if you ever go into my room again, I'm putting this up on YouTube. You understand me? I have a security system. You don't want to do that to your brother because you might get mad and actually do that and ruin his life. So fuck that last one. Just bluff and say, I got a lock on the door, and I have a fucking security camera in there. Okay, you cunt, you fucking weirdo. All right, you're laughing. It's not funny. Jerking off near my shit. I don't want acid wash jeans, if you know what I'm saying. Oh, that's disgusting. I'm sorry. All right, next one. Hey, Bill, I am a listener who is not only from Hong Kong. Nice! Look at me going international. Sir, you are the first one to call in. Are you SG Man on YouTube? Are you that guy? Have anybody seen that guy? Underrated. SG Man on YouTube. Look up that kid's page. I shouldn't have said he was from China. I don't know if he's Japanese or whatever, but he's from Asia. And this fucking kid absolutely kills it. His AC/DC covers are the shit. And sometimes he improvises solos, and he's that totally fit the song, but it's not what Angus played. Like, he's a real fucking musician. So anyways, let's plow ahead here. I'm a listener who's not only from Hong Kong, China, but also an Indian from Hong Kong, China. Okay, I am... not an expatriate. I have never lived in the States or an English-speaking country. I am from here, yet I listen to your stuff. Small world, huh? I don't know if I'm buying this. You speak English so well that you can go small world, huh? H-U-H. What sort of level Rosetta Stone do you have over there, sir? Although his name, Rohit. I usually don't out people's names, but I think you're okay on the other side of the world. R-O-H-I-T, Rohit. Assuming perfect surgery has been done, would you rather get a hand job from a woman who has had her hands surgically replaced with a man's hands? Oh, my God. Or would you rather get a hand job from a man with hands of a woman? Which is less gay? This is not a dilemma I face, just a question I randomly thought of and asked a coworker. Peace from the Far East. Dude, are you fucking kidding? I'm not buying that you're from over there. That you can be this fluent and this funny in a second language. You know what? If you are, dude, that's amazing to me. Because I'm about ready to give Spanish another fucking try. You know? Un perro es gris y blanco. Ocho, nueve, uno. El niño bebe leche. I'm a real, right? And I'm going to speak it when I speak Spanish. I'm speaking just like that, like I hear on those Spanish-speaking stations, because that's what the Rosetta Stone told me to do. Just immerse yourself in the language. So I started walking around listening to the Spanish-speaking stations. You actually got to watch the news so you can see a picture and figure out what the fuck they're talking about. But all I would recognize is when they would just say the fucking phone number. Uno, tres, dos, tres, ocho, cero, cero, uno. Siete, cinco, cuatro. All right. Sorry. So what would I rather have? I would rather have a woman with man hands. Oh, but this is the thing, though. They're not man hands. They are literally hands from a man. So they're fucking hairy. Boy. Jesus, dude, this is a fucking phenomenal question. All right, there's no fucking way I could get jerked off with some guy with like 5 o'clock shadow just sitting there. It would have to be the most effeminate guy ever, dressed in drag. That's what I would do. I would go with that because I think hairy Bigfoot hands on my dick would freak me out. And I don't think there's any way to get around that. If they were like the, you know, you live in the High Life. Remember that Miller High Life commercial where that greasy hand grabs for that last deviled egg? If that was wrapped around my dick, there's just no way it would happen. So what I would actually go, if you had a really effeminate, bitchy dude and I could dress him up like a woman, one of those trannies where you really got to look and had the female hands, I would go with that. And I would have the fucking dude reach through a glory hole. Ah, see, that's why those questions are fucking great, because when would I have ever said what the fuck I just said right there? That's what I would do. Have I ever had that thought before in my life? No, I haven't. I'm going to give that guy, that's question of the week. Maybe that's a new section here, sir, from the Far East. I think you created a new one. I know we've touched on this in the past, but you brought it back. We're going to go with dilemmas. If you guys would like to create a new segment on this podcast, if you respond to it, just put them under the heading dilemmas and come up with some tough ones, and I will try to answer them as honestly and funny as I can. Please send all emails to bill@themmpodcast.com. Bill@themmpodcast.com. Do not forget the THE, the, like the Ohio State University, who got fucked in the ass by the NCAA this year. You're guilty of doing what every other program is doing, yet only you will suffer in two other programs. And the official website of the Monday Morning Podcast is www.themmpodcast.com. We got a donation button there. It's the first of the month. Your rent's due. Wait till next week. But please click on the donation button. I have the guy who runs the MMPodcast.com. If you haven't gone to it, please go to it. He's doing a fucking bang-up job, and I'm giving him money, and I want to give him more money. So the more you guys donate, the more I can pay him. It's the donation button. Also, we have the Monday Morning Podcast Select. I'm trying to nail down another guest. We got one. It's 99 cents. If you want to get something for your money rather than just throwing it into the wind, that's also on the mmpodcast.com. We also have the ringtone, which a lot of people can't find, so I'll have my guy explain where it is, or maybe put it in a more prominent area, the Oh Jesus ringtone, all right, which is it's a great ringtone, people. All right, it's a great ringtone for your girlfriend if she's always nagging you. Then you know not, or whoever nags you in your life, you know not to pick it up because it goes, Oh Jesus, Oh Jesus, Oh Jesus. You know, you're not going to answer that, right? Anyways, so that's the deal. So let's plow ahead here, everybody. Let's plow ahead. What else do we got here? What else do we got here? Hey, Bill, I am a listener from Hong Kong. I already read that. Hey, Bill, how's it going? I was wondering if you could give me some advice. So I've been dating this girl for about 5 months now, and everything's been good except she keeps bringing up how shitty my car is. I'm a 19-year-old college student who pays for everything pretty much on my own. I work almost 40 hours a week, and I'm also a full-time student. And she's giving you shit about your car. I don't even need to read the rest of this. Dump her. She's fucking high maintenance. And when you propose to her and give you the ring, you know, it better be bigger than all of her girlfriends, or she's going to be a cunt about it. I don't even need to read the rest of this. I will. You know, because you made the effort to type it out, but I don't need to read the rest of it. Dump her. You're 19 years old. You're like 5 years away from meeting the girl that you're going to be fucking marrying. So why don't you dump this fucking cunt and go out and start talking shit to girls that you think are out of your league? All right? Because one of them's going to say yes. And you know what? You're going to be banging her pretty soon. Who knows? She might not even, It's almost, as you become more successful, I would keep that car. You said it's a 92 Buick Century. I would keep that fucking car and use that as your Bronx tail lock the door test. Girl gets in there and starts turning her nose up at it, dump her. In your early 20s, that's how I would use it. I mean, if you're driving that in your 30s, I mean, you're going to look like a fucking loser, and you can't get mad if a girl's like, you're 35 and your car is 37. So, yeah. I don't think I like that math. Anyways, Bill, I had my car in 92 Buick Century for about something years. You forgot to put the number of years. And I've replaced many parts in the car since I've gotten it. And yeah, maybe it's not in the best shape, but it gets me from point A to point B. It's reliable and is pretty good on gas. Dude, you know what you're doing right now? You're doing what you got to do to get to the next level. You know what some douchebag does? He drops out of college to get some fucking bullshit job at UPS unloading trucks so he can go out and buy a new flashy car. And you know what? Not to bring up a Bronx Tale again, but there you go. That's that moment where they fucking lock the bar door and they go, now you can't leave. Now you can't leave UPS because you got to pay off that shiny fucking car. And you know what? For the rest of your life, you're wearing brown. All right, my girlfriend hates my car, though she doesn't really like me driving. My girlfriend hates my car, though she doesn't really like me driving her around and keeps telling me to buy a new one. I've even heard one of her friends tell me how much she dislikes my car. Dude, you know what your next upgrade should be on this car? One T-top on her side and an ejection seat in the passenger side. The next time she brings it up, oh my God, I hate this car. It's dirty. It's ugly. What is that red button for? I don't know. Why don't you push it, you fucking twat? Last week, I told her I was going to buy an 05 Civic off of Craigslist, and she seems overly excited about it and kept asking me if I was going to buy it or not. I ended up not buying it. Good fucking man. Good man. Good fucking man. Sorry, I had to walk that one off. Goddamn fucking, I mean, not all women, but this bitch here, this fucking bitch right here, this girl is putting a fucking financial noose around your neck. And you know what, dude? You were strong enough not to be in that. Ooh, keep it happy so it still fucks me. Fuck her. Jerk off and keep the 92 Buick. What a cunt. Overly excited with shiny shit. Why don't you ball up some tinfoil and fucking throw it right in her, forget it. It's too mean. All right. Let's just... Oh, dude, you know, right now, I bet a lot of women are listening, like, why does this guy, or maybe they're not, maybe they understand, why is this guy reacting like this? Because I'm going to tell you something, there are so many fucking talented guys out there, okay, who didn't get where the fuck they wanted to be in life because they allowed someone like this to convince them to buy a fucking 05 Civic. And then they had to stay at their fucking day job rather than being able to slowly fucking quit it and get their business going, get their band going, getting whatever the fuck they want to get going. I'm telling you, this girl is a selfish fucking cunt. Get her out of your life. So anyways, he goes, I ended up not buying it. Dude, I got to tell you something right now. That moment in your life could be like when John Lennon met Paul McCartney. Do you understand the fact that you didn't fucking do that? That is like you're in a barrel about ready to go over the fucking waterfall and you somehow saw a low-lying branch. You did a fucking pull-up despite the fact that no one thinks any American can do one in this country and you got yourself out of there. Good for you. Good for you. All right. I ended up not buying it because she wanted it a little bit. Because the guy wanted a little bit too much money for it. Oh, Jesus Christ. So you totally lucked out. So you didn't reach up and grab the branch. It accidentally caught your shirt. And you sat there hanging there like a drowned rat until the fucking fireman fished you out. Either way, you didn't do it. So good for you. So, and I'd rather get my money's worth on something different is what he says. So I'm trying to make a decision here because... yeah, within the next year or two, I will need a new car, but my girlfriend has been such an immature bitch about it. I never thought I would be into someone who places so much value on material bullshit like cars. And what makes people think, about us when we roll up, in my car? Oh, she's worried about what people think. Dude, she doesn't worry. She's not worried about what people think of you guys when you pull up. She's worried about herself. For fuck's sakes, he says. For fuck's sakes, I'm going to school to be a teacher, and everyone knows they get paid in fucking peanuts. So if she's into money, perhaps I should just nip this in the butt right here. Then again, maybe she's Maybe I'm just being lazy and I should go find a more respectable car. Dude, fuck that. Fuck that, dude. Fuck that. Dude, you know who she is right now? She's Sharon Stone in Casino. That's who the fuck she is. This chick is going to fucking cheat on you as you're sitting there, you know, and she's going to leave you, dude, when you are drowning in debt and shiny shit that you didn't fucking need, okay? And the ride is over and none of it's in her name and her credit's fine. She's going to go down to the bank and take out her $1 million in jewelry or whatever. She's fucking walking just like Sharon Stone. All right? Get her out of your life. Get her out of your life. Just sit down and just say, listen, you're more into cars than you are me. And I just think you're really a materialistic, selfish person. And you're going to make someone miserable. And guess what, sweetheart? It's not going to be me. You know what? You don't even have to be that mean. Just tell her you're not happy. You're not happy. And you know, I know you're not happy with me either. I think you need a guy who can afford a nicer car. If I've learned anything from you, sweetheart, over the last 6 months is what you really are looking for in a man. Good husband, good father. Somebody who can buy a nice car. So why don't you, this is what I would do, sweetheart. Why don't you go dress like a whore? And if you want to get that car quick enough, dress like a whore, go down to a steakhouse. Go find one of those fucking 65-year-old independently wealthy guys. Let him take you for a few spins around the block. Suck his old fucking dick and get your goddamn car. But get out of my life. There you go. Dump that bitch. Oh my God, we're 1 hour and 5 minutes in here. I gotta plow through this here. YouTube videos for the week. I haven't watched these because I'm in a new place and I just got my internet up. Pussy Soccer Ref will have all these videos up on the mmpodcast.com. Broken arm. I don't know. I don't even know why I should even read these. I don't want to go too long here. All right. Did I just knock it off? No, I didn't. Okay, cool. This is the podcast for this week. Hope you guys had a great time. I don't know what. I got a new place here. Maybe I'm going to make a little fucking room into a little podcasting studio. I'll definitely try and get some stuff on the walls. I hope the echoing and the fucking old squeaky chair weren't too annoying. And I really hope that this thing's back up on podcast. And you know something? That shit I just said about that woman is very, it's universal. So I shouldn't have come down so much on women there, because that goes for women too. If you're dating some fucking guy who can't handle what you want to do when he's fucking holding you back, dump that fucking loser. I'm telling you, because you're going to be like that fucking old lady at the end of the Titanic sitting there wondering what could have been the end of the movie, right? You don't want to be that. So that's it. That's the podcast for this week. Go fuck yourselves. I will talk to you next week. And iTunes, stop being a cunt and put this up on here. If you already did, I apologize for saying that. But you know something? If you have a little empathy in your computer fucking world, you understand why I just called you that. All right. See ya.